We've got another caller update for you guys today, but before we get to that, let's listen to a brief recap of the initial call that we've put together for you, followed by the voicemail message to update us on the current status. Enjoy.
So 2 months ago, I moved from Denver to Portland, and when I was in Denver, I was dating a guy for almost 2 years. And when I found out I was leaving, we decided together not to do long distance because it sucks, and decided to just stay in touch as friends. Then he asked if he can come visit me over Halloween weekend and wants to come stay with me. But the problem is that, like, since I came to Portland, I started Tinder dating, and recently I've started dating this one guy. So my question is, do I need to be, like, upfront with my ex about my dating because we haven't talked about it, or can I just, like, let this all ride itself out?
I think it'd be appropriate for you to tell him, you know, you have been seeing other people.
Over text or on the phone?
I think over text. Is that cruel and cold of me?
I'm not a fan of the texting.
I know, but
sensitive,
but here's the thing.
Information. You know why? Because where does the comma go? Where does the period go?
True.
Where does the exclamation mark?
Yes.
And that always means something different to somebody else.
Right. But I don't know if I don't want Holly to feel manipulated, like winding up at like a, you know, 3 hour conversation with like a wasted dude. No offense, Holly, to your ex, at like 1 a.m. and he's like,
"Why can't she
why can't she do it at
3 p.m?
Why does it have to be 1 a.m. when he's wasted?
He won't be able to call her back until he's wasted after the bar.
I feel a little bit like, Holly, you probably know the answer already, but you like this guy so much as a like a best friend now that you're just afraid to hurt him in general because he is a best friend.
And that's the guilt thing.
Right. I don't know what's easier. Because you're not saying that you don't want to be with him because you met somebody else.
The sooner this guy finds out that you're dating someone else and then you're happy, the easier it's going to be for him to finally let go and start to let go. Because otherwise, he'll always think that he has a chance. He's going to always try and figure out a way to visit. Or he's going to say, hey, I'm going to be in Portland for some business meeting. Let's grab... You don't want to get into those weird,
he's
awkward situations.
He's not going there for a business
meeting. Listen, I don't... You're right. He's not gonna... But you know what I'm trying to say? The Band-Aid needs to be pulled off sooner than later, or otherwise it's going to get more and more awkward.
I would tell him you're dating other people, but before that, I wouldn't jump to respond to his texts. Give him some subtle signals that you're distancing yourself.
Then should I even like let him come out to visit, though? Because he's like waiting on me to tell him like to buy a plane ticket or not.
No.
And she needs to tell him soon. No, he can't fly over to see you. It's going to get really weird.
Unless he knows when he's coming that it's because you guys are friends and not because he's coming to try and win.
But why would you talk to him?
And why does he like Halloween?
I agree.
Hey, Anna and Sim. It's Holly from the Constant Simmer episode. You all had some really great advice about how I just needed to be really upfront with him about my feelings and my situation, and that I should just really rip the Band-Aid off. And I did. There was definitely some pushback from him in the beginning where he was kind of saying, oh no, but there is no issue and we are just friends. But I just kind of tried to stay strong in how I was feeling, expressing that I didn't feel like we were in a healthy situation. And it definitely blew up a little bit, where we got into a really big fight because of it. And we ended up not talking for months. Which was okay. I mean, I think we both needed to realize that we were using each other as a crutch, and it was kind of an unhealthy situation. But it kind of worked out in the end that just in the few last weeks, we were able to reconnect, and we've kind of been slowly, finally working on our friendship and kind of being in a more honest place with each other, which is really good. The listener feedback that I got was also really helpful, after the fact that it definitely made me kind of reflect on my own lack of ownership and the kind of confusion of the relationship that I was creating. It definitely wasn't just on him to come to this conclusion. I definitely needed to be more honest with myself and with him, so that was really great. So overall, I think that, this was a really good step for me. I'm super enjoying my life in Portland. I'm having a great time. And I really appreciate all of your all's advice. Thank you all so much.
Kelsey?
Hi.
Hi, Kelsey.
Hi,
how are
Kelsey.
You?
Kelsey.
Hi. Hi. Hi, Anna. Hi, Sam.
And we are conferenced in with Catherine McPhee, who is in London.
Hi. So cool. Oh, that's a nice reaction. Thanks. I've been listening to you guys forever. I love you guys.
Oh, thanks, Kelsey. And thank you for submitting a question.
Oh, thank you so much.
It's so nice to talk with you, and thank you very much for asking our unqualified advice.
Kelsey, tell us what's going on with your boyfriend and the situation with his sister. Tell us the whole story.
All right. So I've been dating my boyfriend for a little over 6 years now, and like any regular relationship, we've had our ups and downs, but we plan on, you know, getting engaged, married, having kids, etc. He gets along awesome with my family and vice versa. I get along great with his, except for his sister. So we're both 27 and she's 25 and she lives in another state. But when she's home, she makes life a nightmare. Like when she comes home for the holidays, I essentially have pretty much like avoid being at his house. If I'm at a holiday, like with his family, even though, like I said, I have a great relationship with everybody, but when she's there, I have gotten to the point where I don't really talk that much anymore. And I don't even really drink that much anymore either while I'm there, because anytime either I say something or my boyfriend says something, she has like some nasty, just like comment to make under her breath. Like we went on vacation with his family that his parents invited me to go on with them. And she asked me to step out of the picture and take the picture for the family because I'm not a part of the family and I should be the one taking the photo. That was kind of wild. And then Christmas happened and we had a great Christmas Eve at his family. Him and I left a little early to finish up Christmas present wrapping. And when we went back to his family home where his parents and his sister was staying just for the holiday, and upon her even thinking that I was possibly going to spend the night there, which literally would have consisted of me falling asleep, waking up really early in the morning and going back to my house, she had a temper tantrum walking up the stairs that literally was like a three-year-old temper tantrum of screaming, crying, swearing, and stomping up the stairs.
Well,
so I'm just like, how am I supposed to attempt to build a relationship with somebody when they act in such an inappropriate manner?
Is your boyfriend and are they close as siblings? And are there other siblings?
No. No, they're not close.
They're not close. And there aren't any other siblings?
No. No, it's just the two of them.
Well, this is good news then. And she lives in another state. Is she employed and in a relationship?
Yes. Yes. Well, she doesn't have a relationship, but she makes great money. She works for a financial firm in New York. Like, she does great for how old she is. She makes probably triple the amount of money that him and I both do.
And your boyfriend's parents, are they seeing the situation?
They see the situation, and like after the whole thing happened on Christmas, like his mom walked up the stairs immediately afterwards and looked at me and we had no idea why she was acting in this way either. We were sitting there and then all of a sudden heard stomping up the stairs. And then found out after she slammed the door in her room that she was crying because I might be staying over. His mom immediately came over to me and was just like, oh my God, I'm sorry. My child is such a bitch, Kelsey.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Well, at least that's of comfort.
Yeah. It's comforting knowing that everybody knows that she's crazy, but then it's just uncomfortable because, like, I understand, like, at the end of the day, she is family and this is his sister. Like, she's not going to go anywhere. But at the same time, it's like, I'm also not going anywhere either. So it's just hard because, like, I've tried really hard having, like, nice conversations with her and asking how she's doing and all that. But she just wants nothing.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
So when you first met her, like, 6 years ago, was she ever nice to you, or was she always kind of, like, edgy with you or with people in general?
She would be, like, more friendly. I mean, she definitely has, like, an edgy kind of, like, bitchy personality. Like, she's not the most, like, warm person on the planet, like, that's for sure. But
so curious what her unhappiness stems from.
Yeah,
I don't know if it's just, like, because she's very lonely and, like, she works in a very, like, high stress environment, which I understand, but I mean, we all have stress that we deal with, and it's just the way that she acts towards me, and I don't know if she's just jealous that, like, her brother has happiness and she doesn't, or that he's not lonely and she is. I mean, the mom says that she thinks it's all just from jealousy and that she wants, like, what we have or whatever, just having a relationship and everything. But
I think it's great.
Does nobody try to talk to her about this stuff?
They've, like, tried, but not in a, I feel like it hasn't happened, like, in a very firm way. And I mean, my friends listen to this for so long and they're just like, tell us, like, at some point I feel like you kind of just have to, like, what the frig is your problem with me? But I'm not a confrontational person, hence the reason why this has gone on, I feel like, for so long. But I just don't know what to do. I don't know if I should be the bigger person per usual and, like, snag her one time and grab coffee with her and just talk to her directly and be like, what is wrong with you and why don't you like me? Or if I just accept this role and keep tiptoeing around this silly situation.
And have you had, I'm sure you've had a lot of conversations with your boyfriend about it. Have you had conversations with his parents about it?
I have a little bit with his mom because his dad is very, very quiet and reserved. I don't know. His sister just has a way with words towards his father.
So it sounds like.
But, like, I've had conversations. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, to me, Kelsey, it sounds like she may have, like, it sounds like her, you know, everyone's a little bit scared of her, which is, I think, of comfort, because then it's while she focuses her aggression towards you, that this may have been, you know, her pattern growing up, and and she's the youngest, and this is whatever how she got attention, and this is her pattern of behavior, and you are the the focus of that when she comes home because she's missing something in her life and feels the need to be aggressive and hurtful towards you. I think, you know, it's sort of a different discussion about wedding stuff. If that, you know, when that sort of that road, I don't think you need to worry too much about that at this moment. But I would lean on, your boyfriend's mom. You know, I would just say, like, you know, I love your family so much, and I want to be close, to everybody, and because she will just appreciate, especially with two kids that are out of the house. You know, like, parents get that thing where they don't feel needed anymore, and so it's very it would it would, you know, bond you guys even more, that if you ask for her advice and counsel on things. And then when that like shit happens, mm-hmm. when she's like, get out of the picture or whatever, like you can, you have the comfort of knowing that your boyfriend's mom and your boyfriend, like they see it, they can clock it, and hopefully do something about it at some point. But it sounds like you really love your boyfriend, and it's great news that she lives in another state and you don't have to deal with it too frequently. I don't know if it sounds like she wants to be confrontational with you. So I don't know if taking her to coffee and saying like, what's your problem with me and how can we fix it? I just don't know if that's the right avenue, because it sounds like she might be the kind of person who's like, listen, fucking bitch, like, this is why I hate you or whatever. like opening the door for her to explode. And then you're just like, oh God, where the fuck is my chai latte?
Yeah.
I get it. And, but I think, that would be my advice, is to talk to your boyfriend's mom and, you know, maybe like take her out for a glass of wine and just say like, what do I, like, how do I, like, I feel like your daughter like has a grudge against me and I love your family so much. And how, like, have you witnessed this? And also what can I do? And I would love your advice, you know? And I think that will, mm-hmm. hopefully at least make her very aware that it's bothering you. Because I'm sure that your boyfriend is probably like, I don't know what to do. Like he feels like he's in the middle of things.
I agree with you. My advice, if that doesn't work, which I don't know if it'll work, maybe eventually, but my advice to you is that unfortunately, she's ever going to change. And I also am happy that you live far enough away where you're only going to see her a handful of times a year. And during those times, just eventually just learn to disengage and just walk away, have a couple glasses of wine, and just understand that she is who she is, and it's going to be like that for the foreseeable future.
And you know, I know, Kelsey, it's so fucking hard to be the bigger person, and I think it's really impressive that you've done it. But know that the sad thing is that she's coming from a place of personal misery, and sadly you are, you know, the target of that. But whatever's going on with her, probably in New York, there's the equivalent of you for her. There's probably some poor person. Hey, person in New York, I'm really sorry for you as well. You know, there's some like receptionist at some office that's like, why the fuck does this bitch hate me? But anyway,
Catherine, do you want to add anything?
Yeah, I mean, I was just going to say that it sounds like there's just some personal misery, like you said, that's just sort of out of your hands. And to not add more stress to your life, you know, not engaging is, you know, as much as it may still like boil your blood to have someone behave like that. And also, you know, it's probably frustrating to be, you know, with someone and a family that you really do like them, but that they don't necessarily like take action and don't do something to actually, you know, change the dynamic and the behavior of somebody, you know, or at least initiate something. That's probably pretty frustrating. But, you know, again, it's like you are and will be part of the family, but it's not your personal job to fix her. And so it's better for you just to try and keep it easy. I think that's amazing advice, Anna, like to go to, you know, your potential future mother-in-law and just say, listen, I really hope I can help, you know, keep the family ties tight. And I'm not sure what I'm doing wrong that seems to be upsetting her, but, you know, I really want everyone to get along. You know, it is hard. It's hard being like the bigger person.
Yeah. It is.
Yeah.
It's like, But, you know, that's
But it's
like,
always the right thing to do.
It's the long game, you okay. know? It's like the long game to achieving yeah. your goals. It's like, you know, I don't know. Like if thinking about what you want in your own life and how to achieve your like optimum level of happiness is unfortunately being generous in moments when you really don't fucking want to be. And then you call us and you can true. Tell us what other bitchy things
she did. And
I was
going to say too, as long as your, you know, your boyfriend makes you feel supported and like emotionally supported and not being abused by whatever situation that you sometimes find yourself mm-hmm. in during the holidays or whatever, you know, that he makes you feel like you're heard and understood and that, you know, you're not just sort of like out yeah. there on your own.
People become miserable.
Right. No, definitely does. He does a good job of
that's,
acknowledging
that's great.
That.
But,
mm-hmm. You have
but,
to sort of just like stand in that.
Yeah, exactly. With that,
that positivity.
With yeah. And mm-hmm. you know, and people become miserable through, I mean, at least these are like first world problems. I suppose people become miserable through things like hunger, but people become miserable through jealousy and comparison. And then they get mm-hmm. consumed by that. And it sounds like this is the case, and whether or not it's jealousy of you or her loneliness or whatever the, you know, whatever the deal that's going on with her, it's a shame for her, and it's a shame that she doesn't sort of find a way to not fucking slam doors at age 25 when you go home.
Yeah, that's so embarrassing.
Yeah.
It's so weird, right? All right, Kelsey, do you think,
oh God,
you think
I
you're,
wanna...
I mean, do you feel like, should, I mean, Kelsey, do you feel like you have the advice you need or is already, do you have any more questions for us?
But listen, but, and Kelsey, please be comforted that mm-hmm. a lot, like most of us have somebody in our life like this.
Oh yeah. Everyone does.
Everyone does. Mm. And
yeah.
And it is like, it is like olive branch extending and attempting to be the bigger person.
By the way, that always wins. Being the bigger person, you always win in the
you
end.
Win, at least you win for yourself.
Exactly.
And okay. even if you don't like
yeah.
win, even if you guys aren't like the best of friends or whatever, being the bigger person is the way to go. And also, I think it's important to vent to your friends. And I say this as a person who vents to my friends, if I had any. but
oh, Anna, I'm so glad we reconnected. I'm here for you.
Thanks, Catherine.
What about me? I said earlier that you're
Sim,
my only friend.
Fuck you. but I would be careful, and I'm so fucking guilty of this, but I would be careful of spinning out in your own head, like exhausting yourself with spending energy
yeah.
on this person, and it's for me, it's that's like an impossible thing. So as I give my lame fucking advice that I cannot take, maybe Kelsey, you could be the bigger person and take it.
No, but that is a really good point. I will say it's like it's sometimes just spending so much energy thinking about something, it's just draining, and it, you know, don't, not in, it's out of sight, out of mind right now, and don't let it be a problem right now for you, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good.
Yeah, but Kelsey, yeah, talk to your boyfriend's mom, and she could, you know, if you're open and honest, and you know, she'll, I bet she'll be your ally, and at the very least, she'll clock like how, you know, how much you love being a part of this family and how much you want everyone to get along, and then slam the door in her fucking face. I love that detail though.
Anna, all we should do is say bye to okay. both Catherine and Kelsey.
Hey, Catherine,
bye,
Kelsey,
you guys.
I
nice
love you.
Kelsey.
Yeah, I love you guys both. And Kelsey, thank you so much for talking with us. Please keep us updated. And Catherine, I really want to come visit you in London And thank you.
Yeah, come to London. Okay, you guys.
Thank you so much, Catherine. Thank you so much, Kelsey.
Bye, you guys.
Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
To close out today's episode, we have two classic calls that we pulled together from the Unqualified Vault. First up, we revisit a call with the incredibly talented basketball legend Shaquille O'Neal. On this classic call, Anna and Shaq talk to Pete, who needs advice on how he can help rebuild his wife's self-confidence after years of marriage and raising kids has made her feel a little bit insecure. And before we jump into that, just a reminder, please contact us at unqualified.com/contact to share your feedback or suggest a classic call that you want to hear on a future episode. Okay, so here is Shaq and Anna talking to Pete. Pete, are you there?
Hi, Pete.
Hey, it's Sim, and you are on Unqualified, and Anna is here, and guess who else is here? We have Shaquille O'Neal with us right now.
Whoa, Shaq Daddy.
What's up, Pete? How are you, brother?
I'm good. Congratulations on your entire career, man. You're awesome, man. This is such a privilege.
Thank you. We heard you need some relationship advice.
So, Pete, you've been married to your loving wife. You've been married to your loving wife for 8 years right now, together for 20. So she has a great career, and she's also the mother to your two young boys. But lately, something has been on your mind. What's going on, Pete? Let's see if Shaq and Anna can help you out here.
Oh, cool. No, thank you. I mean, just before I get into it, this is such an honor, Anna. I started listening to your podcast.
Thanks.
You and your guests would be great for me, and you're just totally free of judgment, and you're so gracious with your time. And we're both my wife and I. We are absolute fans of Just Friends. We think you nailed that character. We love you so much. You make us laugh out loud.
Thank you so much. And thanks for submitting a question. Thanks for being on the show. And it's so incredible. I have Shaquille O'Neal here and we have a special friendship, Shaquille O'Neal and I. I think
I've been in love with this woman since Scary Movie 4 and House Bunny and all her work.
There you go. As I mentioned to Sim, my gorgeous wife, we're college sweethearts. We have a wonderful life. She's my rock, and she's awesome, both professionally and personally. But just the normal work and home life, has kind of taken a toll on her. And it's hard for me to say this. You know, she's put on some weight, and I'm still very attracted to her. I still consistently try to instigate, personal stuff with her and try and have sex and all that stuff. But she's hesitant and she's embarrassed by her appearance and she has issues with me even seeing her naked. We still have it, but we don't do it as much as I would like to. And she even says she wants to do it more, but she's just held back by that. And obviously it's a sensitive topic and I just don't know how to approach it with respect and understanding. And then also I have guilt on my own end for even God, it would be great if she could, feel better and for obvious reasons. And so it's I get shaky when I talk about it.
This is such a,
I just don't know how to handle it.
It's such a common problem. And, I think I don't know if men experience it in the same way, but I know you do.
I've actually had this problem and I have a suggestion for you. Earlier, you just said that you are still attracted to her. Do you really feel that way?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if you're really attracted to her, you have to let her know that. You have to let her know, baby, you put on so pounds, so what? And when I say let her know that, not by big things, little things. Send her flowers to work, show up at work, lip sing a song to her, you know, come, you know, little stuff. Show up at her job, give her a kiss, tell her to take the day off, you take a drive. First place y'all made love to, or first place y'all met, take her back. You'd have to let her know that it's okay. Because once you let her know it's okay, then she'll start to say to herself, it is okay. Mm-hmm. And it's hard. Mm-hmm. You know, a woman, wife, mother, you know, her first priority is come home and take care of you and the baby. She's not thinking about Lifetime Fitness or 24-hour fitness. She's thinking about you. And I could tell by your voice, you guys are older. You've been there and done that.
I tell my girlfriend all the time. 38 years old?
Yes.
I tell my girlfriend all the time because she's a workout guru. And I ask, I say, why are you working out? I say, I don't want to get fat. I say, even if you do get fat, I'm going to still love you. Because love isn't about how you look. It's about how you treat somebody. Mm-hmm. It's about the good and the bad times you go through. So my advice, sir, is to just tell her how beautiful she is every day. And when she starts talking down on herself, you bring her up. So women like little things, buddy. And just, again, just keep telling her how beautiful she is. Trust me, it'll work.
Yeah, I know. It's just more making her believe it. That's also what's hard. Well, you know, it's like, I know I say it.
Well, that's your job, Mr. Husband. That's your job. It's a hard job. That's why they say men are from Venus, women are from Mars, but you can figure it out. I know you can. Do it.
Pete, 20 years, and you know what? You know her better than anyone else.
Exactly.
You can do it, man. You can totally do it. But listen, thank you so much for taking the time with us
but
tonight.
But I think your advice, Shaquille, was amazing. Like it, like with in terms of like showing her, you know, giving her flowers and whatnot. But I really also think like if you can like just start like fondling her and she'll get annoyed, she'll swat at you
she'll
or
be like,
whatever.
Stop.
But she'll really
all that stuff. Act like you want it.
But if you keep at it. It's going to infiltrate with her, and she's going to feel like a sexy
person. Pete, is that something you'd be comfortable with doing?
Oh, yeah. No, of course. I mean, you know, I'm like, you know, she's only been she's the one woman I've only been with in my entire life, and, you know, it's still
amazing.
To this day. I mean,
so, Pete, right now your name is Pete, but when you get home, you got to turn into Freaky Pete. All right, Pete, you got to turn into Freaky Pete. Put the baby to bed and then go to work.
I got to tell you, though, you are just know that you're not alone. Like, this is
this happens a lot.
Common. I mean, I recently cut my hair shorter, and I got to tell you, I just hate it. I don't want
what?
Yeah, I know.
Oh my God!
I know. No,
stop it.
But what I'm saying is that I understand that like all of that physical stuff that women we have a whole. I know that you guys have a ton of different pressure in different ways, but women we've got a whole journey of like a lifetime journey of this beauty pressure that is tough that we you know that. We'd like to think that we're strong enough and confident enough to overcome all of it, but we want to always be sexy to our men, and it's a tough one. But I think that you can give her a gift by truly, like, kind of shoving your face in between her butt cheeks and just being like, I love you.
Just take it. All right, Pete,
thank you so much, man.
Excuse me, Freaky Pete. Talk to you later, buddy.
Freaky Pete, yeah, let us know how it goes, please. And thank you for the compliment.
And thank you, Sim, and thank you. Thank you for all the guests that you bring on the show.
Oh, man. Pete, will you please keep in touch, okay? I want to talk to you more.
We'll do. Thank you so much.
Thanks a lot. Okay. On the second call from Lisa Kudrow's episode, Lisa, Anna, and myself chat with Steven, who is frustrated that his fiancée doesn't understand why he regularly flies home to see his family several times a year and needs advice on how to get her on board with his frequent family visits.
Hello.
Steven. Hi.
Hello, friends.
Hello! You're not going to even believe the friends you have.
Wait until you find out which friends you have with us tonight. We have Anna here, Anna Faris, of course.
Hello?
Jessica Cabot, who is the creator and writer of the Refinery 29 series called Shitty Boyfriends, is also here.
Ooh.
As is Lisa Kudrow. She's also here with us tonight.
Hi.
Wow. Hello, everyone. And Lisa and Anna. Oh, my God. Hello.
Hello. Thank you for submitting a question. And I can already tell you're a kindred spirit.
So, Stephen, your fiance doesn't understand why you feel the need to keep flying back home to see your family. Tell us a little more, and hopefully we can help you.
Sure. Pretty much that in a nutshell. We moved down here to Atlanta from Connecticut about 3 years ago and for her job, and it's been great. I absolutely love it down here, the weather, the people. It's a good time, but I try to get home to see my family as much as possible because I have a brother that just had a baby. She's 8 months old. I just FaceTimed her tonight. She's just about ready to walk, and have all these other cousins that have little kids. And I just love being the fun uncle, the Funkle, as I call myself. And it's fun getting home to see them as much as possible. But a lot of times whenever the discussion comes up of booking flights again, every 3 to 4 months is usually what I try to do. She kind of hesitates because of money, or is wondering why I'm such a mama's boy, having to go home and see my mom all the time. And she loves my family. She loves seeing them. She loves hanging out with them when we go home. But she doesn't understand why I want to go home as often as most people down here who have moved, that maybe go home maybe just twice a year or once a year. I kind of want to do it every four months-ish. So,
I got to tell you, I think you sound amazing.
Sounds I know. Reasonable. You sound fantastic. Yeah. What's the other part of the story?
Yeah, I mean
that you're not telling us.
But so... Okay. All right. So she gets upset and you say it's about 3 to 4 months. You go home.
Maybe even every three months. So I went home in Christmas and I was going to go home again in May for my bachelor weekend because we're getting married in August. And I kind of planned a last minute flight here in a couple of weeks in March, kind of impromptu, and dropped about $300 on a flight. And we're trying to save for a honeymoon and for a wedding. And if you really have to go home again 3 months, if you just went home and saw them, like, can't you stretch it out a little more to May? And I'm like, no, I want to see everybody. And she's like, okay, all right, fine.
So does she normally
Sorry,
didn't mean to cut you off, Stephen. Go on.
No, go ahead.
Well, does she know? So she normally doesn't go with you on these trips.
She will go with me most of the time. There'll be maybe one or two trips out of the four or five that we take in a year where I'll go by myself, just because she has work and her family's much smaller than mine, and they don't hang out as much as my family does. So she's okay with going 5 or 6 months, not going home. And so like this trip coming up in March will be just me, and which is fine because it's only one flight instead of two. But if the two of us go and, you know, she comes with us, it costs obviously double the money. So right. I think it's mostly financial, I think, but also the constant connection I have with my mom and dad. And I call my mom probably 3-4 times a week, and she can go weeks without talking to her mom. But when they do talk, everything is normal, just like me and my mom. So it's not that they don't like each other or anything. It's just the connection isn't as close.
Well, okay. I've got lots and lots and lots of thoughts here. Sim and I both come from really close families, and it has been threatening to some of our romantic partners in the past. And the sad truth is that the families have always won because that's just sort of the sad truth of, I mean, not sad. It's wonderful. It's wonderful but when your partner in life asks you to make that kind of choice, that's not fair. It's not fundamentally fair. Now, having said that, you don't necessarily have to say that to your fiance, but you could say, here's my pitch. What you could say is, baby, I love my family so much. I love you so much. Right now, before we get married, before we have babies, I wanna see them a little bit. And I miss them, and I love you so much, and I can't wait to start a family with you or whatever. I don't know if that's your journey, but I'm just pitching ideas here.
No, it's pretty accurate.
But until then, because once, you know, we start having kids, our lives will be completely different. But right now I really feel a strong need to be a part of, you know, my niece and nephews are c- cousins' lives, and that's really, really important to me. And I hope that one of the reasons you're attracted to me is because I love being around kids and I love being a part of their lives. And, you know, I'm going to do my best to be a great dad and a great husband. And I hope you understand that this is really important to me.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Now, since you guys can relate to me in that sense, now, so flash forward 5 to 7 years, will I be doing the same thing in 5 to 7 years, or will I have settled in more down here a decade later, and will the flights and going home kind of reduce itself over time?
It'll reduce itself, but here's what will happen, especially if you guys have kids. They'll come down more to see you, especially like your parents. And that will be also a different kind of journey for your wife, because especially for women, the relationships with their husband's parents are really tricky, because there's sort of a unconscious sort of power struggle with that whole thing. And so it'll shift, but I do think that it is not, it's tricky territory that she's entering into. And maybe you can say, you know, it's all about timing. You can say, honey, listen, I know that money is a concern. We've got a lot of expenses coming up and everything, but I don't know if money is the full issue here. And I just want to lay everything out on the table. And I just want to tell you that I want the world. I want you. I want kids. I want my family. I want it all. And I want to be able to see them for 4 to 5 times a year, maybe more.
Lisa, am I a mama's boy?
I know. I've been talking too much.
No. You've been saying good things. You know, I mean, I don't have anywhere near the same issues, because my in-laws live in another country. My parents live 2 miles away. My whole family does, and so we don't ever have to spend money on going. But
you sound wonderful. You're not a mama's boy.
No, my husband calls his mother every day to say hello.
Okay, so then we're on the same page. So you experience the same thing she's experiencing here, then, because I do that. I talked to her today. I helped her book a flight down here today, ironically. So
yeah, no, I mean, I think it should be a wonderful thing that you're close with your family, because it's a, you know, that's a good sign, usually.
Sim but just got weaned from his mother's breast, not 3 years ago?
I'm not going to comment on that.
But how long have you and your fiancé been together?
About 6.5, 7 years, and we're getting married in August.
Oh, so she knows she's from Connecticut, too?
Yeah, we moved here for her job. We were dating and through college, and then after college, working a bit, and then we moved here about 3 years ago for her job, and I proposed last August, getting married this coming August.
So when you go see your family, she could see her family too, because they're there also?
Yes, and that's what we usually do. We'll split. If we're there for 4 days, we'll do usually 2.5 days with my family, a day and a half with her family.
Right.
But then I have a lot of friends I'm still connected with. She made a lot of new friends down here, and I'm connected more with a lot of my friends back home.
Oh, why is that?
So when I go by my, I don't know. I think it's because she kind of got into new things when she finished college. And when she came down here, she just connected with a lot of the new people here, where with sports and with a lot of my buddies from back home, we stayed connected through sports, you know, fantasy football leagues and things like that. So when I go home without her, I'll try to visit them the one time a year that she doesn't come with me. I'll go and see them. Like, I'm meeting with a bunch of people this time because she's not with me. I'll go to the bar with them one day, or then go to, you know, something else another day with these other guys, because I don't see them the other times we come home, because we split it with family, basically the whole trip.
Well, here, so Chris and I, We grew up in the same area. We didn't know each other, but we both moved to LA roughly around the same time, but we didn't meet till 2007. And when I first met him, he was going home all the time. And I had severed, besides my closeness with my family, a lot of ties there. I didn't have any friends, but he was constant, like every, maybe even more than, I felt like every 3 weeks, he was going back and visiting all his old buddies. He didn't have that many friends here in LA. He was very much tied to Seattle and that area. And because I didn't have that many friends, I just didn't feel the same thing. And it felt like, what do you, you know, why do you, you know, we were too sort of early on in our dating I was sort of good about like not revealing my insecurities. At least I thought I was. I don't know.
Why are you going away? Why are you here with me?
But it's different now, and we have a kid, and you know so I do think when you ask your question about 5-10 years from now, it will totally change.
Yeah, that's a good point. But I'm also wondering, are you making friends in Atlanta?
Oh yeah. We have a lot of our friends are mutual friends because she works with a lot of females at her job. She works for Carter's. They make the baby clothes. I'm sure, Anna, you've
I love Carter's.
A lot of those.
Carter's.
Yeah. So
Carter's. Yeah. Our new sponsor. Andres McLaughlin.
What's that brand again?
Carter's baby
clothes. From Atlanta.
What a perfect fit.
If you have any shoes or socks or hats, any of the accessories, that's what her job is to kind of buy those and put them out into the store. So she has a lot of friends that she works with there, and their husbands and boyfriends or fiancés I've met through her friends and coworkers. And thankfully, a lot of them, almost all of them, have been really fun. So, you know, it could have been awkward where you meet, you know, your fiancé's coworker's husband and he's a total douche, but he ends up being really nice. So that's helpful.
Well, listen, it sounds to me like you guys, you sound incredibly level-headed. I don't want you to feel like you have to give up your home. I think when the timing is right, kind of explain to her, listen, things are going to change. But right now, I want to be close to this while I can, because I know that we're going to have a family and things are going to be different in the future. So give me a pass on this. I will also say one final thought, though, too, is that planning a wedding, that time is so stressful, and it brings up all kinds of shit. It's like shit that you didn't even know, like what was going on, and brings out weirdness in everybody involved. So don't forget about that. That it just happens to be the period between engagement and wedding is a really rough one that it's easy to dismiss.
Right.
So,
well, Anna, you know what? One of the one thing that we haven't done yet, we've got everything done, flowers, food, venue. The one thing we haven't signed yet.
No way. No way.
Is what?
Oh my God, sorry. Mike, our technical producer, just had to lower the volume because I freaked out so much. Well, so I've been telling everyone, Lisa, that, so I'm a
you're
minister.
Ordained?
Yeah.
I knew that was, as soon as he said the one thing we haven't done, I knew that was happening. Smell it a mile away.
Yeah.
And, you know, in the Atlanta's the new Los asked. Angeles, so if you're down here for filming or anything,
all right.
August 20th.
Okay. All right. Well, listen, you know how unqualified I am. But you do know that I love attention. So if there's any way I can make your wedding all about me, I would just love to. Oh my God. I'm getting beet red right now. You should see my face.
She's really excited, Stephen. That is completely made her nut.
All right. Well, listen, Kim, will you please be in touch? And listen, don't give up, You can have it all. You can have your wonderful family and a wonderful fiance and wife and kids.
Thank you. And I love the podcast. I've only been listening for a week. I came over when Adam Carolla was there. I'm a Carolla fan. And I listened to the one episode and I said, this is really good. And
oh, good.
Downloaded another one. And I subscribed and I've listened to all of them in a week.
Oh,
and
wow.
Now I'm on the show. So,
oh my God.
Thank you so much, Steven.
That's been and you asked me to officiate your wedding without your fiance's permission. This is the best night of my life.
I already mentioned that I was going to ask this question, and she's like, hell yeah, Anna can officiate.
No way. Oh my God, I love her. Oh, I'm totally on her side. Do not see your family ever again. It's too expensive.
Exactly. There is no issue. He made up the whole, oh, I love my family too much. And it's like maybe the money. Maybe.
All right. Well, listen, you got me all giddy. Let's please be in touch. Steven, thank you so much.
Steven, thanks a lot.
And congratulations on
everything.
Thank
you, guys. Love you.
Love
Appreciate
you, too.
It.
Bye.
Bye.
Wow.
I can't. I was like, this is genuine excitement.
I felt like he proposed to me.
He did. He proposed that you marry him and his fiance.
Can you imagine? I'd be the worst.
I don't think they really have a problem.
If I ever get married, will you also do mine?
Are you kidding?
Yeah, please.
Well, let's see how she does with Steven's.
Okay, sure. Yeah.
So the reason I got ordained was because I was just hoping that someone would ask.
Like, really?
Yeah, like... Maybe if I actually like signed up, like somebody might ask, because, you know, normally the normal path is like, hey, would you marry us? Would you mind getting ordained or whatever? But I was proactive.
you got ordained before anyone asked you.
This is 2007.
Oh, you've been waiting a long time.
No, exactly. Until really? Tonight. And now I got two invites.
That's amazing.
Lisa.
I'm already married.
What about like a renewal ceremony?
A renewal ceremony. We barely do Valentine's Day or our anniversary. But sure.
But you saw the magic tonight.
I did.
How much joy.
You're very nice.
Love that, yeah. Like, project.
No, you're so sweet with everyone who calls and patient and
oh,
nice.
Just wait. I go upstairs and I start stabbing the wall.